Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your people coming to you to hear your word. And we ask tonight you teach us by the Holy Spirit, and that the instructions of the word would bless, Lord, would really bless you in our lives. So pray for that correction of Scripture. We pray for the instruction of Scripture, Lord, even that reproof and certainly the teaching that we need in our lives. So I pray that we would go on to perfection. Thank you for what you've been teaching us, and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you tonight, and ask to be taught by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, maybe not often that this happens, that we're living out the Bible study right as we've been studying it. So, you know, sometimes you're studying the Scriptures, you put the Scriptures in front of you, and you're learning them, and then you learn how to apply them. Well, we as a church are walking in this one. And that's an important thing to see. And we took this stance or this viewpoint from the beginning of this year on Wednesday nights, that we would go through Romans 12 with the prayerful application that this is a chapter of prophecy for us. So we became thus minded to become doers of Romans 12 while we're doing it, studying it and applying it all at the same time. And that carried over into chapter 13, specifically for the last 2 weeks when we were called out of our slumber and our sleep to awaken unto the putting off of the darkness, and then walking, or again, putting on the armor of light, to cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, walk properly, as in the day, walking honestly as believers who belong to Jesus, and to then have nothing to do with drunkenness and wantonness, the rioting, that characteristic mark of the unbeliever, but rather to live as Christians, right? To live as those that are born of God. And the last word, as we studied on Wednesday night, was to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And we're walking in that. And when I instruct in that way and describe that, all of you men who are at the men's conference, and again, if you're married to a man who was at the men's conference, then you know this too, that the men were given a wake-up call. We lived Romans 13 this weekend, and we were shaken awake to get out of darkness, to have nothing hidden in our lives, and to come to the light, and then to walk in the light. And we did that. And that's why I recap as we come into Romans 14, because it's very important that we would see we're walking in this. And so the instruction, that this becomes important. And I can't get past verse 14 from chapter 13 because it rolls right into 14:1. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is to become thus minded that we would consider, I think the most wonderful thing is we are to put on the life that Jesus Christ lived. And that means that we're putting on righteousness. We're putting on truth. We're putting on His salvation. We're putting on the gospel of peace. Reconciling, right? You can catch this armor of light, and together with the goodness, the righteousness, and truth. And this is instructive. And then if you listen to Pastor Jeff on Sunday, go through 1 John chapter 3, that we are to live in the likeness of the one that we're born after. And that's what I've been applying. I want to live in the likeness of being one who is born from above. I'm born of God, being a child of God. Well, then I want to resemble and live that life by the grace of God to live that out. So righteousness for me, as I would teach and describe, we're to live righteous lives. And I have this one verse stuck in my head that let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is what we're walking into, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill, right? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So literally it just reads, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the lusts of the flesh. That's the description. Now it becomes important because in 14:1, we're not talking about lusts of the flesh in 14:1. We're going to get on to preferences of practice, if you will. And we're going to get on to the oneness of the body. And again, as we've described, our careful attention to be a many members, one body. And we've been practicing that. And my word to all of us is not a single Christian who would want to join himself or herself in oneness to darkness. And how important it is for us to walk in the light. So the instructions of Scripture, and again, I say instructions because I believe the correction's already come. Now, if you didn't respond to the correction, you'll still be corrected. The Lord's very capable to chasten and then to bring you back. Again, if you walk out of the way, He corrects you to bring you back into the way. And like I told the men when we were all gathered together, from my perspective, in one way, one of the best afterglows we've ever had at a men's conference, that the Lord had prepared this work. And my call to the men is, if you love darkness, go now. Right? That's if you want to follow and walk and you love darkness, just go. Get on with it. Go fulfill all the darkness you can. Perhaps you'll come to the end of that and you'll want to come back to Jesus. But if you stay, right? If you stay, then there's that commitment to walk in the light. So 1 John 1:5-10. Is where we've been at. If you have no idea what that means, then you should jot that down in your notes. 1 John 1:7 describes, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. See, that's where we've been through. That's what the men's conference was about. And some of you men went home confessing and bringing your hidden sin into the light for your spouse, for your wife, and then she began to confess. And then you both had that, we're in the light together. Now, if you haven't done that yet, you still can do that. But that's where we've come through in the instructions. Now, I'm saying instructions because, why am I saying instructions? Because the reproof has already come. Okay? That's a good thing. Because Ephesians 5 describes that whatever makes manifest is light. We're to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather reprove them, or the New King James says to expose them. That's what's been happening. Does it feel good? No. See, but sin's deceitful in that when you're sinning and keeping it hidden, you have that pleasure that you then lie about. Then you think about how much lying is the instrument of darkness. You stop and think how important it is that we say, if you used to lie, now you're to speak forth the truth. So we did this, and we came through this, and now I'm reminded, let's put off the works of darkness, let's put off the works of the flesh. Ephesians 5:19, the works of the flesh are evident. Again, let's put them off. Put off the old man that grows corrupt according to those deceitful lusts, and say, let's not sin anymore as Christians. Give the effort. Give the effort to say, let's put that away. Now we brought it to the light. We confessed it as sin. Now my next instruction to you is, now forsake it. What would it be like to come to the light and then to walk in the light and then only to go back to darkness? It'd be better off to what? Better to go now. See, and that's my word. That's my word to us. So the fact that you stayed, all you men stayed on Saturday, I don't know if it was peer pressure. What a great form of peer pressure it was peer pressure to walk with the Lord. Good. 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. See, what is darkness as a Christian? It's sin that we hide from others. It's kind of like being a smoker and then covering it up with perfume, but everybody in the room still can smell through both smells, and then you're gagging on it. Right? It's like using patchouli to cover up the smell of pot smoke or incense, or what it was back when I was in college. Everybody knew who was smoking pot on the floor. Why? Because their room smelled like incense. See? We're just not that clever in hiding and covering up our sin, especially when you have the Holy Spirit with words of knowledge, or the searching of the Holy Spirit that shines on these things. And so when you as a Christian come to the light, it's not going to feel good initially, but when you come to the light and you confess your sins, so if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's why I describe lying as the instrument of darkness. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that feels good when you're cleansed. You come and like, I have absolutely nothing left between me and God. I'm cleansed. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's where we've been at. The reproof came, the wake-up call came, cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. And again, if you're going to stand in the armor of light with me, I'm very serious about this. Just describing that, that means that there's no darkness. There's none of this wishy-washy, double-minded. It's we're in the light, and we're going to walk in the light. So if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the Word is not in us. Well, my encouragement to all of you now is we've come through that reproof. That's where we're at. So when you're reproved, right, by the light to come out of darkness, that's exactly what walking in the light is. And now you're in the light. And the light is good. And then you can actually walk. You know where to walk and how to walk, and you're not snared. And again, let that searching continue in your life. Now, where else are we at? Well, in this instruction, I want you to find Galatians, because I want to go through this with you. If there was ever a memorization verse that you needed out of Romans 13, it's 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It's almost like I should have memorized that 20 years ago and then just keep saying it over and over again all the time as the instruction would come up. All right. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You'll notice that it's the same thing in 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in the Spirit. They're the same thing. Do you love the instruction of the Scripture? Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in the Spirit is the exact same thing. There you go. Make no provision for the flesh. Again, the instruction is, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, true liberty is to be able to do what you ought to do. When we say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, it's not liberty to sin, or to use that on occasion, but quite the opposite. It's liberty now to do what you ought to do, and that's the instruction. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And this is what I wanted to get to. And it becomes important because when we get into chapter 14, when I'm going to talk about preferences of practice, we're not talking about sins of the flesh in chapter 14. Very important for us as we step into this. What I'm laying out for us is that there is not a Christian church that should tolerate works of the flesh. And you catch that. I mean, we as children of God would be instructed, put off the works of the flesh. And this is why my pastor said to all the men this weekend, he says, we should never have to come back here again. Meaning, this work of repentance that we got onto to cast off the works of darkness, we have been spiritually lazy. And then we were instructed to go to the ant and consider our ways, and we were told to, right? We were told to get to work on waking up and getting out of our spiritual slumber and sleep, and we did it. We're awake. It's a good thing now. So the clear instruction is to put off the flesh or mortify it. Again, crucify the flesh. All those words, as you hear that, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Okay? That's not to be named amongst believers. Fornication. This again is a part of what we went through in that first week when we prayed Romans 12. It was to confess these sins. So fornication is not to be named amongst believers. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. See, this is where we're at. This is walking in the light. This is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is living Spirit-filled, or again, Spirit-led. Now, I'm saying this in such a matter-of-fact way on purpose, because I don't think I'm telling anyone here tonight anything new. But if you can go through a wake-up call and continue in darkness, and you hear that? If you can go through a wake-up call and you don't flinch, see, now you see why the serious tone was taken and this work that needed to be done. So if you came to the light and confessed your sins, what do you know? I woke up. I'm awake. And I came to the light. So when you brought it to the light, do you know what happens next? Satan reaches back out to you to do what? Pull you back into darkness. So then the temptations get more intense, and then maybe you stumbled. And then you had to go back again to 1 John 1:9, and you're like, oh, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. See, this instruction now that I bring forth is to take 13:14 and walk in that. Right? No provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And in doing that, that's a part of genuine church. So if you came to the wake-up call and it woke you up, praise God. You were shaken awake, and then you had you know the searchlight of the Spirit of God shined into every corner of your heart and into your life, and the darkness that you found there that nobody else knew about, and you exposed it. That's walking in the light, and that's done. That confessing's done. Now let's help each other walk in the light, stay in the light. And put that into practice. I almost retaught the last week's Bible study tonight. And I don't know if you would have like got upset at me if I said back in Romans 13. But it dawned on me the teaching's already there. The wake up calls happened. We came to the light. Now we got to move forward. Now we got to walk. So the instructions are clear. So let's. Well, again, let's walk in the light with each other. Now, on to perfection, growing up, being a church that is complete in words of genuine, glorious, and now I remind you, complete. Is the Word of God for you exactly that, the Word of God? And I think that's the important part here, that the Word of God must be for you exactly that. It's not a suggestion. Okay? It's not an opinion. It's the Word of God. Him that is weak in the faith, this is Romans 14:1, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. The study in Romans 14, it's not a complicated study. The meanings of the words are not like, for us, like, oh, this is hard to understand. This is not a hard to understand chapter. It's a very straightforward chapter. So it's important we catch that. So the instruction is to receive him that is weak in the faith. So this understanding of receiving one another. See, when I say it's time for us to grow up, we put off our childish ways, we become a man. That's an important step for each person, right? So we have to put off our childish ways and we grow up. And then in church, it's we are to receive one another in the faith. Find your way to Matthew 10. And these are instructions of our Lord. Now, what is a disciple anyway? I mean, what is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or who is a disciple? Well, one who hears his teachings and puts them into practice. One who learns what he says and does them. That's a disciple. And since we're into that, right, being disciples and then making disciples, why are we into that? Well, because our Lord said to go do that. That's why I'm into that. And in Matthew 10, we have his instruction, 10:40 through 42. Again, just on this idea of receiving one another. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So as you grow up and you understand that the key is to receive one another, even those that are weak in the faith. The key is in the faith. In the faith. So the way our Lord taught it, he says, he that receives you, well, then we're to receive one another. This is an important thing. We're to receive all believers. Now, let's be honest. It's a beautiful thing to have a local body of believers to be working out with one another our Christianity. Two, when we sin against one another, that we can then go to one another and we can practice. And listen, if you've never asked for forgiveness for anybody in here, you're probably in your biggest sin, and that's pride. So if you can't ever remember coming to anybody else in church and saying, will you please forgive me for, you're in trouble. And that's your wake-up call tonight. See, this idea of receiving one another is a basic teaching of our Lord, but there's another part to this, it's a broad understanding that we are to receive all that are in the faith that would be received of Jesus Christ. So in other words, all believers. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in my name, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So that broadness and generosity, or again, I'll take the term back, liberal, right? God is liberal. The word's been stolen along with others. The liberals aren't liberal, by the way. So again, that's part of the, what do we call it? Double think and new speak, right? I just put them together, double think. See, God has called us to give. And this is the part of receiving one another. So as we grow up and we take this to heart of the instruction of the scripture to receive one another, here Paul writing to the Romans after, again, just clarifying, that's why I spend all this time up front. We are not talking about joining to the fake church that is promoting sin. Okay? I'm not talking about joining yourself to those that live contrary. In fact, this is what Romans, Ephesians 5 is all about, and walk in love as dear children of God. That's what we studied on Sunday. Walk in love as dear children of God. And in that love, as we walk in that, and he goes on to say, let not fornication, covetousness, or idolatry, let it not even be named among you. And really, it's the conduct that is fitting amongst the saints. Again, there should be a distinct, like that's those that are born of God. They're Christians there. I have believers who are friends who won't even refer to themselves as Christians because of how much that term has been, again, sinified, if you will, by those that would do such things. So, I'm simply bringing this command to receive one another in the faith and not to doubtful disputations or, again, to judge his doubtful thoughts. One who is weak in the faith, they're still in the faith. And this part of examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, that's a very important step. Hebrews, I forget the chapter. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. It's a have you believed and received? Right? This is a great thing for us because really when you meet a Christian, don't make the mistake like I find all the time. Don't ask them, where do you go to church? The first call, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, where do you go to church? See, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, go right to fellowship in Jesus. And this is because of Romans 14. Do you really want to start the doubtful disputations? See, the moment that someone says, well, where do you go to church? Or this, well, you should come to our church. What? See, these are the things that when we grow up and we recognize God's brought us together and he wants to do a work in and through our lives. And if this is your church and I'm your pastor, these are the instructions of Scripture. I don't want you like I do not want you recruiting people away from another church. But I've instructed us, when you find somebody, they say they go to church, right? They say they're a Christian, or they say they go to church. What have I instructed you? Share the gospel with them. Why? Because we live in a city where we have people who go to church, and many of the churches do not teach you must be born again. They're not in the faith. So that's my instruction to you. So if you find them in the faith, and even if they're weak in faith, then you receive them. You receive them as a brother. Again, Ephesians 4, that idea of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's only one God and one Father. Jesus said, if they receive you, they receive me. Are you somehow going to say, well, I don't receive this type of Christian? Well, this is the instruction. You receive them, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs or vegetables. If you wondered what Paul is thinking about a doubtful disputation, uh-oh. We forgot to give Spencer the memo. Spencer, you're going to leave this for that? Just turn that off. You don't have to help them out. Just stick in the study. They'll still be there when the Bible study's over, right? So this, and you can turn the phone off, no problem there. Paul's describing this is a doubtful disputation. Now think of this. Of the Jews who would not eat or eat certain types of foods, they're eating kosher. So you have the Jewish believers, but then you also could have those who knew and had knowledge of this food was offered to an idol. 1 Corinthians 8, Paul discusses that to the church. Here he talks about a doubtful disputation that some say, I only eat vegetables. So he that believeth he may eat all things, another is who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him. So that those with, say, the Christian liberty, or, and it can happen in different doubtful disputations, like if you as a Christian watch movies, and then you have others who say, well, we don't watch any movies, or we don't partake of that. It's the same type of thing that can happen, and here he's given an example over food, but the instruction is, let him that has that liberty or has that knowledge that he can eat whatever he wants, let him not look down or despise or count his brother of in less value of him who only eats vegetables. And then the one who was strict in their diet or strict in their practice, we don't do that. And again, this can happen in any body of Christ where our family doesn't partake of that. See, and then it becomes, here he says, it describes, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. It's a very important thing we understand that. And I call this preference of practice. They're preferences. Now, what am I getting at? This is why I spent all the time up front that you could have the works of flesh and say, it's not the works of flesh, what we're talking about here. It's not sinful. These are preferences of practice related to what you would allow or not allow in the faith. Again, the key is in the faith. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Can someone help Spencer turn his phone off? Spencer, do you know how to turn it off? Not me. Don't come up to me. I'm up here teaching. John, can you help him turn it off? Right? Is it an Android or an Apple? There you go. Spencer, you got your name on the teaching. I'm not sure it's a good thing tonight, but here we are, right? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant, Spencer? That's the second call. All right. So listen up on this study. The idea that we're not to judge one another on these doubtful disputations. See, this is the instruction. We're not to like, oh, we don't do this and they do kind of approach. To his own master. Again, answering to the Lord. The Lord is our master. He stands or falls. And God, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. This is one of the marks of maturity. As we grow up and we realize that, hey, this is not about getting everyone to do how I practice. This is about all of us learning to follow the Lord, follow his teaching, and to put that into practice. Then he gets on to another thing here where he says, one man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, this to me is great, because now you can't just say, well, this is what Christians do. Did you catch the part when Jeff was teaching in 1 John 3 on Sunday? And he said, there is no instruction on how to pray or how to do your worship services. It literally is governed by the relationship between you and God, that in that conscience and then in that faith and in that practice, it's governed by a love relationship. It is not like you don't do this, you do these things, but certainly it's clear not to judge one another and to recognize that each person has a direct relationship with the Lord. So where it says that one man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now I'm going to make you think. Turn over to Colossians 2. When Paul instructs the churches of Colossae, he actually is instructing them about this. See, when you handle the Word of God, and then you come across something and you're cross-checking it, these are things we've got to chew on. See, when I brought us through that wake-up call of being spiritually lazy and saying, these things that you have to, this is strong meat, and we got onto that, and I watched this work of the Lord come out of this. There's instructions in Colossians 2 verse 8, we're told to beware lest any man spoil through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Then he gets on to describing how we are not to let anyone judge us, if you look at 2:16. So here Paul's telling the Roman church, who are you to judge another man's servant? And in Colossians 2:16, he is saying, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or any new moon or any Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the bodies of Christ. So he's instructing the church to be open. He's instructing the church not to allow another to judge you over the liberty of your practice. And now, yet we can look on church yet today that there's one Christian denomination that says you must worship on Saturday. And to the point where they teach their people that it would be a sin for them to not worship on the Sabbath, on the Saturday. And yet you see in this here, we're told in Colossians 2, we're not to let anyone judge us in days or meat. And that same denomination does not allow their people to eat. They must eat according to the Levitical code in Leviticus 11. And that particular denomination holds that for their people, that's their faith. And yet we're instructed in Colossians 2 not to let anyone do that. So when you look at who's the weak one, who's the strong one, well, the instruction is he who has the liberty is not to despise those that have restricted. And then those that have restricted are not to judge those that have the liberty. And this is still one body of Christ. Now, you think how crazy it would be to try to put those two parts of the body into one service and have one teacher instruct them? See, there's some great understanding of why do we have different groups, and both in Christ. See, the diversity in the body of Christ is very important. It's sad for me to see when that diversity comes along the lines of race, but certainly language and sometimes then practice or that conscience of belief, it's good to have that. You don't have to like judge one who doesn't practice the way you do. And this is one of the things, because we come to church here and we get proud of this fact that we teach through the Bible. And, well, these other churches don't teach through the Bible. And so we start to what? Judge them and despise. And so my word to us is that God is able to make him stand. This is not about, if you really are studying the Bible and putting it into practice and you're drawing to know the Lord, then show it by your conduct, right? Let a man show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So if you really are, right, putting the Word of God into practice, well then, go do that and keep your mouth shut. Right? Or, do that and open your mouth and exhort and encourage everybody else to do the Word of God. But when it comes down to, right, judging. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. See, I love this thought here. Persuaded in his own mind, 1 John 3, 19 through 21, right? Like, if God is greater than your heart, just that phrase out of there, God is greater than your heart. You be fully persuaded in your own mind, again, mind and heart. God is greater than that. There's this point of yielding unto that if your heart condemns you not, then you have that liberty and that freedom and that persuaded in your own mind. You can, I can worship God on any day and every day. Yet I really like Sundays because it's the day that's been set aside for us to come and worship God. If the day was set aside to be Friday, then I would love Fridays. See, that's me. I'll take any day out of the week. I just like the ones that are set aside. When we did our church midweek study on Thursdays, I love Thursdays. Best day in the middle of the week. Now when we do it on Wednesdays, I love Wednesdays. That's how I am. He that regardeth the day unto the Lord. That's the key in 6. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. Don't you love that? It's like whichever way you believe and practice in faith, it's unto the Lord. And that's the key. So to think that we would gather together and try to have church services and say that with Seventh-day Adventists who say we worship on Saturday and we say, no, we see in the scriptures that the early church gathered on the first day of the week, so we worship on Sunday. They say Saturday, we say Sunday. How are you going to have one church service? See? But here's the key. The maturity is what? They're believers. Right? We're believers. We're one body. See? And it's very important. I'll give you, even as you would practice this and it keeps you from trouble, when John, right, sons of thunder, I don't know if Zebedee, I don't know if mom or dad, I think maybe mom was actually thunder, right? Sons of thunder, James and John. When they saw someone doing miracles in the name of Jesus, but they're not a part of us, so we told them to stop. And the Lord says, someone can't do a miracle in my name and then turn around and curse my name. And he goes on to describe that he who is not against us is for us. So what should you expect? We should expect the body of Christ to have all this diversity in different initial, preferences of practice, different types of church services. See, this is a part of growing up and being mature, that there will be a church that has an order of service that might be more liturgical, yet the people there are believers, they're born again, and yet the key is, are they in the faith? Now, I could not handle a liturgical service. Open up the book and in this responsive part and then shrink down the Bible study to 10, 15 minutes, I'd go crazy. Right? It's like, where's the Bible study? I want the Word of God. So again, that's now my preference of practice, that we would study the Bible for at least 45 minutes when we're together. See, and this is this chapter. This is about us growing up and being mature and then seeing that even in this, you'll notice the key is, if it's flesh, it's not of God. But if it's just a preference of practice, it's not for us to look down on another, but just recognize, I love the diversity in the body of Christ. You ever said that? I love the diversity in the body of Christ. I even love those that are not like me and have a different expression of how they are close to God, and I'm one with them, and they're my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to be in the same church service with them, but if they're doing the work of God and we're doing the work of God, I receive them in the faith, and I expect they would receive me in the faith. And then we're one. That false unity that's been preached is a tool to have you join together with different faiths. So you have to be on guard to say, you know what, this chapter, very important. I'm instructed that I'm to live unto the Lord. And that's where you write in your notes, 1 Corinthians 8. That was the chapter about meat that was sacrificed to idols. Paul said, an idol's nothing. You go to the marketplace and you want to buy food that was sacrificed to an idol, buy it and eat it and you're absolutely free, because that's liberty and that's freedom. And he says, but if the person selling it to you says this was offered to an idol, then the instructor said, don't buy it, don't eat it. Or you go to eat with somebody, say, hey, we offered this to an idol, and they put the food before you, he says, don't eat it because of conscience sake. He says, not your conscience, because you could eat it. It says because of their conscience. Now, what would you think if you saw me week after week going into a bar and coming out of a bar? Pastor of the church, right? You'd see me carrying this brown bag, and like, yes, he could have a liberty to do it, but you'd be saying what? What's he doing drinking? That's what I would say anyway. What am I doing drinking? Because I don't touch this stuff, right? You see, and so these things of practice, this preference of practice, you do realize that it is acceptable in Germany at the evangelical churches in their potluck, you know, meals, their pot blessing meals, their agape feasts, they have a keg of beer. But they wouldn't dare serve caffeine. And look at us, all of a sudden you're like, oh, we wouldn't dare serve beer, but coffee flows like crazy. See, and then you realize in this preference of practice that those aren't the things that are important. It's about living unto the Lord. Verse 7 says, well, I should finish up 6. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And that's the part I wanted to get to. Thank you, Lord. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And that's an important thing. It's unto the Lord. None of us lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Whether we live we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, in word or deed, right? Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. So if we talk about this now in Romans 14, to receive one another in faith, enjoy the diversity in the body of Christ. I wouldn't go to many of these churches. I think of a church where the pastor doesn't teach the Bible. I don't want to spend any time in there. In fact, when I'm talking to him, I don't even have much fellowship with him. But I'm not looking for that. I'm accepting him and receiving him in the faith. And you see that. See, we'd never have a woman pastor because of what the Bible says. But what about those churches that put a woman pastor in place? Uh-oh, he went there. See? Are they still believers? Right? See? They are. See why we need this chapter in our Bible? Right? You don't have to, like, I don't know what it is, if it's the marketing mentality that somehow we think we make the best marketing decisions and we buy the best products because we're the best, if that's the carryover that comes into the church. But what if you realize that in meekness and lowliness of mind, you esteem the other better than yourself? Like, we humbly, just like this, we do this because of this right here. We don't live unto people. You know the snare of the outward holiness? It's a snare. It's a snare to outwardly appear here before one another more righteous than you are. That's part of the trouble of walking in the light. Because if you have to outwardly appear one way, what are you always doing? You're always lying to cover up what's really on the inside. See, and likewise, when you live in that freedom, you don't have to cover up. None of us lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. This is, if we're the Lord's and you've received the others in the faith, what do you know? Everyone else in the faith, they belong to the Lord. So if you both belong to the Lord, then the instruction was, he who receives you receives me. And so what are we really talking about? So you should at least get to that place in your interaction if you are talking with one of them. Talk about the Lord. Now, I always find it interesting. I find other people in church who don't want to talk about the Lord. I go, huh, because that's my favorite thing to talk about. I'll talk about the Lord. Talk about how'd you get... a lot of times I'll ask the question, how'd you get saved? I've always been a Christian. Really, tell me more. See, I always grew up a Christian. Well, at any point in time, did you believe and receive the gospel? Are you born of him? See, these are the things that this chapter instructs me and you. It's like to belong to the Lord, to live for the Lord, to be his disciple. What are his teachings? What are his instructions? What does it mean to walk in love as dear children of God? See, what does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to walk filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in wisdom? These are the things that we live. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Verse 10. See, did I say 9? For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. That's a dead church. Well, they might still believe in Jesus Christ over there. Interesting thought, huh? See? And yet, we all have the same charge. Let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So what are we really looking at? If it's sin, it has to be addressed. But if it's preference of practice, what do you know? You don't have to address it. You know, sayings arise like, you know, we have to, you know, major on the majors and minor on the minors. The way that it's tried to carry this whole thought. We should expect diversity and differences in the body of Christ. And as we grow up and we mature and walk in that love and have that confidence, you still can say, I really love what we do. I love how we go through the Word of God. I love how we follow the Holy Spirit. I love how the Spirit's leading and guiding. I love the instructions. I love the calling that God's given us. I love the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I love going through the Bible. I love the discipleship here. I love Calvary Chapel. They go through the Bible. See, that for me, and the other thing, we had visitors on Sunday, and I said, well, do you go to a Calvary Chapel? He says, no, but every time we travel, we always want to find a Calvary Chapel to go to when we're traveling. Oh, I said, oh, you like the love of God. That's all I said to him. I'm accepted in the beloved. See, this part of if we really want to talk about what do we really have that's not to be boasted, everything we have has been a gift. We live unto the Lord. That's the whole thing. That's why when I talk about walking in the light, it's because the Lord walks in the light. When we talk about the way we serve or give or love, and the thing is, but why do you judge your brother? Right? Why do you set at naught thy brother? You think of our statement of faith describes we're not opposed to denominations as such, only as they have, by their practices, separated the body of Christ. My paraphrase. But this is the instruction. Why do you set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Giving an account, right? The idea of this bema seat, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. A great place to see that all the believers are going to be there giving an account unto God, bowing the knee. All who have believed and received Jesus as Lord, and He's their Lord, they'll give an answer to Him, as you will. What if in all this despising upon another who doesn't quite do things as well as you do, you find out that when you're giving an account to the Lord, says you're filled with pride and everything you did accounts to nothing and it must pass through the fire and it all burns up. You have no works because it was all done because you thought you were better than everybody else. But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do this? See, this is the mark that we need this study to understand. That confession to God. Every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. And look at Romans 14:12. So then every one of him shall give an account of himself to God. So you live to the Lord, you die to the Lord, you know you're going to be before Christ. The bema seat judgment is for the rewards. It's not unto condemnation. It's a judgment unto the giving of the rewards for the works that you've done in your body. What you've brought forth. The talents he gave you, what fruit did it bring forth? This is the instruction, and so I take it seriously. I'm going to give an account to the Lord for how I have lived my life, the ministry that God's entrusted to me. I'm going to give an account to him for the church that I pastored. And say, some people, again, we have a despising, if you're not careful, you have a despising over church size. How big's your church? So that's why when I answer that, because we're on the smaller, church size, I always answer, well, we average about 200 pounds. And then that usually ends the discussion. Well, here's what I know from verse 12. If I'm talking with a pastor who asks how big your church, big enough to give an account to God for. See? And you think about our lives and living under the Lord, and your practice. Yep. Are you willing to have the bright shining light of all of your doctrine? Men, we were exhorted to learn doctrine. If you didn't catch that coming out of this walking in the light, you should know that. So when you consider what I'm talking about today, I am not talking about the doctrines of false practice. Right? I'm talking about this is those in the faith. I'm not talking about preferences of practice that are false. I want nothing to do with false practices. See, and that's that instruction. Like, that should not be there. If there's a practice of yoga in a church, that's not a preference of practice. You should be right there convincing, exhorting, and rebuking that other believer for allowing a practice that's contrary to God. See, if you thought for a moment that I was thinking to have you accept evil and dark practices that are done elsewhere as just a preference, that's not in the faith. See, that's why you have to know the doctrines. That's why you have to know that, is this practice doctrine? Again, and so when I talk to people or exhort them and say, hey, this is a doctrinal issue, let's talk through it. I say that to a guy and he's like, no, you just don't love me. No, I love you more than you know. This practice is, this is doctrine. You're undermining the Word of God. You're actually removing your power and authority as a pastor that God placed you there to give oversight to the church when you send somebody else out to a worldly counselor or even a Christian counselor. You just made them their pastor. You made yourself obsolete. That's a practice that has nothing to do with preference and has everything to do with the Word of God. See, it doesn't mean that I don't exhort people. And now you catch this. I am going to give an account to God. Every one of us shall give an account to God. Well, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess God. Just do it now. I mean, isn't that, that's kind of the whole approach, to do it now. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. See, so you have to know your doctrines. See, study to show thyself approved, a worker who needs not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why are these practices? Why wouldn't you have visualization, right? Well, that's a technique that's used in New Age philosophy. Why wouldn't you put these practices in place? Well, because they're not of God. They're not in the faith. They're not of the Spirit of God. And now you see that our judgment, we're not to judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So much more concerned might say, how do I live? Do I live to not stumble another? So in all your pride and all your thing, you think of what you might say or do, and then all of a sudden someone describes or asks about one of your practices, like, oh, I didn't even think that that was troubling you. Paul gets onto that and he describes that if you knew that your eating of meat that was sacrificed to idols stumbled a brother, he says what? Because of their conscience, he says, don't eat meat when you're around them ever again. So you don't stumble them. If it really was such a big deal, you found out that, hey, the watching of movies really stumbled another. Or you say, well, I go to a restaurant, it's a bar restaurant, but I go to the restaurant just to eat, and then that stumbles your brother, and they go back to drinking. Would you avoid then a bar restaurant and say, I won't go to a restaurant that serves alcohol? You see, this is now the part where we're instructed, and this is about growing up. It's not about, I get to do whatever I want to do as a believer. It's about, you know, I'm going to live my life in such a way that glorifies God. And that if I find out about these things, and again, and just reasoning, and then listening, say, you know what, if that stumbles you, I'm not going to do it. But here, when we instruct and teach the Word of God, my desire is to get you all into the whole counsel of God's Word. Study the Scriptures. Know what these things are. Know how to put sin out of your life, and then these preferences of practice. It's like, does the Bible have anything to say about it? So when you're making your biblical decisions, okay, when you're making your decisions, what am I saying? Pick up that biblical decision making so that as you're making your decisions, you can search out the Scriptures. Does the Bible actually say one way or another should I not do this practice? Or I'm making this decision, is it of God or not of God? Rather than going with the ungodly, subjective things. Well, I feel it's okay. Only to find out later, I didn't even search out and seek out what God said in His Word. So that's where I stand tonight. One in the body of Christ, I don't have to go be unified with everybody. I'm already one with all the other believers. That's the Scripture. Now, when I meet other believers, guess what's going to happen sometimes? I'm going to probably end up exhorting and encouraging them, sharpening them. Hey, what's the Word of God? What about this? And like I've said before, right? I'm living such a way right now that all these things that I'm saying, bringing people to the light, speaking openly, clearly, and saying, you're either going to get sick of me and go away, or you're going to be exhorted and say, what? I want more of the Lord. I want to walk with Him. So that's what I have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight. And I pray for Calvary Chapel Fargo, members individually of one another, this oneness of this body. Lord, I pray once again that Your light would shine brightly into the darkness and You would wake up. Lord, I know You woke up the man. I pray that You would wake up all the women as well, that if we're walking in darkness, I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would just hound that Christian in darkness, that they have to come to the light. The pride, the selfishness, the strife, the envying, the wicked and evil thoughts, the fornication, adultery, any of those things that should not even be named among the saints, the covetousness, all that practice, Lord, we ask in the Spirit that search would get into all of our hearts and our lives, and You would search us out. Lord, and then as we grow up, as we learn to walk in the light and then walk in love and walk in wisdom to walk circumspectly, Lord, that our walks, our conduct would be done in the meekness of wisdom. Lord, that we would not seek to divide the body of Christ, but Lord, we would seek to recognize that Your body is very diverse and that we can be one with others who have different practices, Lord, and just help us then to, as we meet others, to exhort and encourage and to stir up onto love and good works. Lord, I pray for Your church in this city that You would do a great work of revival. Lord, for those that have fallen asleep, for those that have mixed other doctrines, Lord, I pray that Your church would once again listen to You, and as You would revive Your church and You would send us forth with gifts of the Spirit and power of the Word and Gospel to go forth and to declare to this city that Christ has been crucified and that this city could be saved. So we'll do our part, Lord. We live unto You, and as a church, we live unto You and serve unto You. Cause us to grow up and be mature, that we could be a church that when people are saved, they can come into and be discipled, and that they could learn to follow Jesus, and they could learn to love, and they could come to the light, and they could have their sins cleansed, and that we could be Your church in Your way. We could be genuine church for You. Lord, we could be glorious church. It's my prayerful desire in Jesus' name. Amen.